Welcome to the second edition of the Outdated Wrestling Hour. This week brought to you by soup. That's soup. It's all I can eat in my old age. Soup. Here's something else I can't eat in my old age. These villains from the old days. They were scary as hell. Abdullah the Butcher. Pretty Blassie. The Noble Sheikh. Sheikh. They were really scary. Not like the villains today. Boy Howdy and Carry On the Cross with the Scarlet and the underwear and everything. Shameful. Uncivilized. Well, anyway, it's the Outdated Wrestling Hour.
Well, my. We're back. Hi, it's Bob Smith, formerly with Pro Wrestling Illustrated, formerly with WCW Magazine, formerly with a lot of things. And we are presently with the Outdated Wrestling Hour. We're glad to have you back. We really are glad to have you back. And thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Over the reaction we had to the first episode, incredible. Ratings far higher than I ever thought I would do if I had done this for 6 months. So thank you. It's much appreciated. We hope you enjoyed the first show, got some laughs, and we hope you get some laughs with this show and some memories. Memories of the greatest villains in wrestling history. You know, I can't help but think back to Fred Blassie. When he entered the WWF in 1973. The first time he appeared on the local program that I saw up in Albany, New York at the time, he took on Big Jim Lancaster and gnawed his forehead into a bloody map of gore. I don't know how else to put it. It's the most violent thing I think I'd ever seen on television in my life up to that point. A man biting another man's head open. Jeez. I remember as a kid, I went outside, dribbled the basketball, trying to forget what I had just seen. But somehow, I couldn't wait to tune in the next week. That's what pro wrestling did to you back then. It hooked you. You didn't like it, but you loved it. You hated it, but you needed to see it. It was different, and we really enjoyed it as kids. Right into my adult years, actually. And then they ruined it. But that's another story. Another story was Abdullah the Butcher song on the old UHF station from Utica, where I lived upstate New York when I was a kid. And Pedro Martinez's federation that ran in Utica and Buffalo and Cleveland. And here comes Abdullah, managed by Eddie Creechman, beating the hell out of referees for no reason at all. Beating up preliminary guys to the point where they had to go bloodily stretchered out right to the hospital. Just that maniac leer. Big, imposing karate thrust. The biggest man you ever saw that could move that fast, that could drop elbows like he did and leg drops in his younger years. The sumo pants, the entire look, that leer. That villainous, evil leer, like he didn't know where he was while he decimated his opponents. Bob ventures out, dribbles some more basketballs, and can't believe what he just saw on television. Those are two of the greatest villains of all time, right? And the third, of course, in my estimation, was the Noble Sheikh, as Eddie Creechman again used to call him. Or Abdullah Farouk, better known as the Grand Wizard of the People on the East Coast, and better known as Best Foods West of the Rockies. Wait, I digress. But in any event, that's the old helmets bit. But in any event, the Sheikh, I never really got to see all that much until I was a young adult, and I finally got my hands on a copy of I Like to Hurt People, the quasi-documentary slash comedy slash whatever the hell it was that was released on VHS tape in 1985. Obviously was filmed mostly in the mid-70s when Detroit was at its height and the Sheik was the number one star, maybe in wrestling at that point. The most violent man using his teeth, foreign objects. Unbelievable. Go into a trance, eat the ring announcer's tie, you name it. He was as wild as it got. The prayer rug, the heat, the unbelievable heat, the near riots at the Cobo Hall. Unreal. The Sheik was absolutely unreal. He was a heel's heel, a villain's villain. Some of the greatest facials in the history of anything. He could sell ice cream to Eskimos. He was so good in his prime. So good. Like Abdullah, he hung around a long, 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 long time. Too long, according to the fans in Detroit and Toronto, who seemed to abandon him in the later years of his career. And he became kind of a wrestling vagabond for a few years before going back to Japan and becoming a major superstar all over again in the 90s. But what we're going to look at here at first is an interview I just did with one of my oldest friends in the publishing business, photographer John Pine, who's covered a lot of sports, a lot of news. And I sent him to a wrestling match for the first time in his life, and he knew nothing about it. And who was the main eventer of that first show that I sent him to? The Noble Sheik. I wonder if he's ever forgiven me for it. Let's find out when I speak to him. Well, I am very happy that the first guest I'm having on my podcast is somebody I've known for how long? 33 years? Something like that? Longer?
Well, I think it's longer than that. I've been in Florida 35 years, I think. So it's got to be closer to 40, 42.
Oh, gosh. Don't even go there. Yeah. Right. But anyway, I've known this gentleman a long time. He is a longtime journalist and photojournalist. He's had a career about as varied as mine is, because it's like, I've done about four different things, and John Pine here has done a bunch of different things. So from sunny Florida, please welcome to our podcast, Mr. John Pine. John, how are you?
I'm doing okay. The sun was not out today in Florida, unfortunately, but that's okay. It's still warmer, I'm sure, than where you are, so everything's good.
Well, New York is never warm, even when it's warm, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But anyway, the reason I'm having you on the show here, my old buddy, is because you're not a wrestling person. You didn't attend matches. You didn't know that much about it. And the story here is that we were just talking about the Sheik, the Noble Sheik, one of the most villainous characters in the history of professional wrestling. And I was at PWI at the time and discovered that the Sheik, who really wasn't working all that much at this point around 1989, was making an appearance in your neck of the woods at the Martin County Fair.
Right.
And in Stuart, Florida, right?
That's right.
So I call you out of the blue and I say, John, would you go and take a few photos of this match? You didn't have to do the rest of the card. We were only interested in this comeback match by the Sheik. And you said, sure, I'll do it. You know, we negotiated the price and off you went to the matches. So what was it like when you went in there? Again, you've shot sports, you know, legitimate sports, but you never shot wrestling before. You hadn't really no interest in it. And that's why I want your perspective, is because things were about to get really loony really fast, weren't they?
Right, yeah. The sports photography that I'd done before was a little bit of everything. But, of course, you and I both covered the early career of Mike Tyson. And so I was familiar with a ring, not necessarily the ring that the wrestlers use, but I'd been right up on the apron taking photos with the film back in those days. Of course, it was no digital yet, so I had a motor drive and you know, several rolls of film, and was prepared to have to shoot quick and fast because the action was going to be quick and fast. And I sat through some of the undercards and got a feel for what I thought I was going to be up against, I wasn't right on the apron. I didn't have those kind of passes at the time, but I was close enough that I thought I could get you some good shots. And of course, the place was packed. I don't think there was an empty seat in the house. And unbeknownst to me, there's a huge wrestling fan base in Florida and in that area. And so I was kind of shocked when I walked in there to see you know, the place packed, first of all, because other than the Sheik, I don't think there were any other name wrestlers on the card, at least no names that I recognize.
Right.
And, you know, when it came time, of course, for his match or bout or whatever you even call it, the place erupted, of course, because he came out there and he stomped around the ring. That's really what he did, kind of stomped his feet and, you know, grimaced at the crowd, and they loved it. They ate it up with a spoon, of course. So they were loving the idea of hating him. I guess that's the best way to describe it, because he was the bad guy.
I think the reason the fans were so into it was for what you just described. They knew he was one of the most villainous characters in the history. He hadn't been around in a long, long time, and he was a legit legend. I mean, everybody knew who the original Sheik was, as they called him at that point. He comes out, and what happened? I mean, what did you see?
Well, I would say the response was an equal 50-50 mix of love and hate, you know.
Yes, that's right. Okay.
They were cheering him because, of course, they knew him and he was famous. I say there were some legitimate, you know, fans and followers of his in the room, but they also were booing and hissing and all the other things because, of course, he's a bad guy, and that's the whole deal with him. So, you know, he just kind of stomped around the ring and you know, did his shtick. Threw a couple of fireballs and had
when you say he threw fireballs, where did he throw them?
He wasn't too close to the opponent. I don't know if there were rules about that, or if the local fire chief, if the fire chief.
No. Trust me. Nobody knew he was going to throw fire. You know, the local fire people had no clue. I can tell you that right now.
Oh, okay. Well,
you got to know one thing about the Sheik. The Sheik once chased people around a hotel in Philadelphia with a saber just because he felt like it. He lived his gimmick, man. And you know what? If he was throwing fireballs, he was doing it because he felt like it.
Right. I remember, I think either you told me or I read somewhere that he never, ever went out of character. He was the Sheik. Whether some little kid met him on the street or he was being interviewed by the national press or whatever, I heard that he never even really answered his phone with his real name. He always said, there's nobody by that name here. I'm the Sheik, you know? So he really embodied that character 100%. And he did that night as well. And,
so the match starts. Okay. Right. The match starts and here come the foreign objects, right?
Well, the fireballs, of course, and there was some, you know, legitimate scrambling around of wrestling. And then, you know, it looked like he was probably losing or on the losing edge of a particular move or two. And that's when the fireballs came out. And I would say, he was, you know, 4 to 6 feet away, and the fireballs just kind of went up in the air between the two of them. And of course people went nuts when that happened. And yeah, it's at some point the announcer, you know, said, oh, the opponent's got some blood on his face. And, oh, it appears the Sheik probably has a foreign object. And I, you know, upon hearing that, I thought, I got to try to get a picture of this if I can. And I did. I don't think you can tell from the picture exactly what it is, but
it's funny. It's funny. The foreign object you used in the photo, because I remember you said, check out the shiv in his hand. and I looked at it. It looked like this pointy paint scraper or something. It didn't look like what he usually would use. In the past, he would use pencils and, you know, rods of steel and stuff like that. But this looked kind of funky. It was kind of like pointy.
Right. Well, of course, the announcers saw it, but the referee didn't. So, of course,
he didn't. Wait a minute. Let's back up. The announcers? Were they doing live commentary in the arena?
Oh, yeah. I believe so. Yeah. I mean, it was like what you'd watch on TV. You know, somebody was calling play by play
in the arena.
Yeah.
Boy, that's unique.
Yeah. You know, that's probably some local guy. I don't think it's somebody who travels with the wrestling.
No. I imagine this was like a one-off event for that particular fair, for the county fair. So.
Right.
It's kind of an odd choice, you know, because you're bringing kids into the thing, and so you invite the world's most violent wrestler into a family venue. To me, it seemed like odd booking even at the time.
Yeah, I don't know that there were kids of, there were definitely kids, you know, 11, 12, 13 years old, as I recall, some of them with parents and some of them without. So, yeah, I don't know if afterwards parents thought, gave it a second thought or not. I don't know.
Who can say? Well, you know, Florida. Yeah. The other question I have, obviously the Sheik emerged victorious, did he not?
He did. Right. And of course the place erupted again. About 50% were happy to see that happen, and the other 50% were booing him. So he was upset with the crowd, of course, for booing him. So he stomped around a few more times and threw a few more fireballs in the direction of the crowd and on his way out. So he gave him a good show. I at the time, you know, I don't recall, but it couldn't have been more than $5 or $6 to get into this event at the time. Cause,
and the match was short too, right? He didn't go very long, did he?
His portion of the show was short, yes, definitely. But there was a full card. I mean, it was a good probably 80, 90 minutes of wrestling.
Not bad.
For $4, they got their, or $6 or whatever it was, they got their money's worth.
Did the man seem as insane as he acted in the 70s and 80s? In other words, was he like seemingly spacey and staring at the lights and looking kind of otherworldly, like he's in a trance? Did he look like that?
I didn't see any behavior like that, but he did, you know, glower in the direction of the audience often and just, you know, did his best crazy man routine. I don't remember any trances. And you mentioned to me once that he kind of did a prayer rug thing, but I don't remember that he did that night.
That would be pretty rare if he didn't do that. That's something that he did throughout his career to draw heat, as it were.
Right.
And, you know, it's conceivable. You know, because you know what? I don't know how he ended up in Florida at that point. Neither did anybody at my magazine. He didn't live anywhere near there. He certainly hadn't been invented anywhere around the country because we covered everything. So the reason we wanted you to be there is, well, it was a rarity what you were seeing. We thought he was semi-retired, and yet there he was main eventing this card. Hey, I hope everybody enjoyed meeting and listening to John Pine and his remembrances of his time that I sent him to meet the Noble Sheik. he never did become a wrestling fan. John's one of those guys that's kind of hard to convince about professional wrestling, like a lot of people I've known. But you know what? He wasn't around for the old days like you and I were. So he missed all the good stuff, if you know what I mean. Speaking of good stuff, you know, I do watch modern wrestling, or today's wrestling, I should say, because it's all modern, but I want to introduce a new segment on the show called The Outdated Wrestling Hour, Current Wrestler Who's Doing Good. Not much of a title, but in any event, I want to give some plaudits to somebody who I think is doing a wonderful job, and I hope he continues to get the opportunity to do the wonderful job. Drum roll. I don't have a drum. Bell, please. Hats off to L.A. Knight of the WWE for being so old school that he's fresh. He's like a cross between Stone Cold Steve Austin and Rick the Model Martel, really. Fantastic physique, good-looking guy, and boy, can he talk. And he can go, too. I remember seeing him in the NWA under another name, and I always thought very, very highly of him. He's got a ton of charisma, ready to rock and roll, and I hope that once the end of this Bray Wyatt / Uncle Howdy thing reaches its conclusion. Please let it be over, please. Can I get over this, please? I'm not into it. Nobody's into it. It's taking too long. Bray Wyatt, don't get me started. But let's get back to LA Knight. I think, booked right, he could be a major star for the WWE, either as a babyface or a heel, where they could really, really use some new blood. Let's hope they handle it right. Let's just hope they handle him right. I just think he's got what it takes. I missed those 2 years ago in the NWA, right before the pandemic. Remember what they had in the NWA? If anybody who's seen it on Fight TV or seen it on YouTube. Gosh, they had Nick Aldis. They had LA Knight. They had James Storm. They had Camille as Nick Aldis is second, and she was fantastic in that role. They had so many great wrestlers there. They had Mr. Anderson. They just on the list it went. On the list it went. They're all gone now. It's not the same. Their flavor's changed. Tyrus, as I speak, is the current NWA World Champion. I got nothing against him, but I don't get it. I like Billy Corgan. I admire what he's trying to do greatly. Joe Galli comes on the beginning of every show, wrestling as it ought to be or wrestling as it used to be. I don't see it. It looks like they're copying everybody else right now. So I'm hoping they come back to their senses and get back to the traditional NWA style of wrestling and the way you're presenting it as well. You know, all hope is not dead when you have people like Billy Corgan, though. I think he'll right the ship because he already did some amazing things. You know, he's still got a lot of talent. I love the broadcast team, Tim Storm, Velvet Sky, please. Joe Galli, great job. Great job. Although I do and will always miss Jim Cornette on color. I don't care what anybody has to say about the guy. Jim Cornette's a genius. He's the best talker in the history of anything. I miss him. I always will. Anybody who saw those earlier shows will miss him too. I realize that's true. So in any event, I am hoping you're enjoying our first two editions of the Outdated Wrestling Hour because we are talking about old stuff and we got a lot of more old stuff to talk about. We're going to have some wrestlers on. I've been in contact. We're going to have some fellow journalists on. I've been in contact. And it's going to be exciting. It's going to be a little different. Again, I'm doing this with my tongue in my cheek. I don't want to make it too serious. I want to have fun with wrestling. The way we used to have fun with wrestling, anticipating it coming on TV every week and going to the cards and sitting in the armories in the high school gymnasiums whenever pro wrestling rarely came to our towns, or making the big venture to Madison Square Garden or the Philadelphia Spectrum or the Memphis Coliseum, all the greatest, you know, the Sportatorium, all the great old school venues that everybody looks back so fondly. You know, the New York area, everybody looks back at Sunnyside Gardens in Queens. These are Wendy's there now. But it's true. I mean, everybody misses where they first saw professional wrestling. For me, it was the Washington Avenue Armory in Albany, where I understand, thanks to some people on Facebook, they still use it for wrestling once in a while. I was so excited to hear that. I couldn't believe it. Because it was the 70s when I used to hang out there monthly to see WWE cards. Amazing. You got any memories of wrestling? I want to hear them. We want to hear from you. We really do. We have a website. We finally have the website. It's up and ready to. Yeah, the website is up and running. It's outdatedwrestlinghour.buzzsprout.com. Our host team is Buzzsprout, who I'm loving being associated with. They've been absolutely fantastic, and I'm hoping for more great things from them in the future. You can find me on Twitter at BobSmithNYC. Couldn't be easier. That stands for New York City. You know what I'm talking about. BobSmithNYC. Find me at Facebook at Robert Smith. And we are now available virtually everywhere podcasts are available. I mean, you name it, we're there. We're about to get onto Apple Music. We're waiting on the final approval there. They actually screen new podcasts. I got no problem with that at all. Same goes for Odyssey. And I'm hoping that we'll get the final approval on that. But we're everywhere. And you can listen to the podcast on the website I just mentioned, too. You can just call it up. Hit the link. There you go. The entire podcast for your edification. So I'm hoping you're having fun looking back at wrestling with us. We're going to look at a lot of things in a lot of different eras. We want you with us. And you know what I'm going to ask you to do? Be old school. Tell a friend. Send an email. Make a phone call. Let's build this thing. We're already exceeding my expectations tenfold. I really mean it. The results we've gotten from the first edition, I don't know what stemmed this. I don't know if it's the fact that I left the other podcast or what it was, but people are listening, and I could not be more grateful. This is fun. I hope you're having fun, too. And we're trying to give you some laughs. We're trying to get you some old school thrills and chills. And we're trying to make you feel nostalgic and warm about the way things used to be. Remember the way things used to be? Remember fun? Anybody having fun these days? So anyway, this is the Outdated Wrestling Hour. I'm your host, Bob Smith. Our opening and closing theme is Boogie Party by Kevin MacLeod, whose music can be heard on scores of films and TV shows. The guy's just a genius. He really is. Check out all his great music at Incompetech.com. That's Incompetech.com. It's licensed under the Creative Commons by Attribution 4.0 license, which I guess I have to say. You can hear my own music, Robert Charles, C-H-A-R-E-L-S, at Amazon and Spotify. The executive producer is yours truly. How do you like that? He's financing his own thing. How can he afford it? Well, I'm having fun. That's how I can afford it. So there. I'm hoping you tune in for our number three. We're going to be on every alternate Friday. That is our schedule now, every alternate Friday. So, for the Sheik, Abdul the Butcher, John Pine, Dusty Rhodes, Andre the Giant, and all the others who appeared on today's show, at least verbally, my name is Bob Smith, saying what Roddy Piper once said: when they think they have all the answers, I change the questions.